Job chapter 19. I'm going to talk about a subject today that's good and bad. Hopefully the overall is good, because our topic is death is vanquished. Death is vanquished. In Job 19, look down at verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Isn't it amazing they are? That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Let that soak in. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Wow. Whom I shall see for myself. Amen. And my eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Now think about a man. This man lived about 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years before Christ. And he believed, though he died, he would in his flesh one day see God. Now that's a hope, isn't it? That's a faith that was real to a man named Job. Lord God, bless the word to our heart and our lives to the service of our God in Jesus. Help me today, Lord. I'm little. I'm helpless. I'm nothing, Lord. I just look to you in Jesus' name. And thank you for letting me open your word again to share with this body of believers in Christ's name. The great fearful enemy of man is death. Do you ever stop and think about 6,000 years men have been here? 6,000 years man's been here, and every one of them has died except those of us living that today. Everyone has died for 6,000 years except those of us alive today. Death is ugly, isn't it? You know, I remember when I was a little boy, about something like that, they used to take the deceased out to the family's home. And they'd stay out there 2 or 3 or 4 days. And we would go to those families' home, and there'd be that person there. Funny feeling they give children. I'm glad they don't do that anymore personally. It creates too much pain on a family. They don't need to experience that kind of suffering. But death is so ugly. That body's laying there. It never moves anymore. No matter how many times you go by, talk to it, life has escaped that body. It's going to escape your body one day. And you can't stop it. I've said before, ever two die every second. Probably more than that now that COVID's around. 106 die every minute. 6,316 every hour. That's a lot of people dying in an hour. This is not counting COVID, because these figures was given before COVID. 151,600 die every day. Did you hear that? Today, 151,600 people will die in 24 hours. Not counting COVID. 55.3 million will die in a year. 55.3 million will die in a year's time. Death. Death is reigning, folks. Death is in control. Nobody's stopping it. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, you ought to go there and mark this verse in your Bible. But in Ecclesiastes 7 and 2, it's better, listen to what the wisdom writer said. It's better to go to the house of mourning, that means the funeral home, if you don't understand that. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting or having a party and a good time. Okay? For that is the end of all men, because everybody's going to die. And the living will lay it to his heart. The wisdom writer said in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2, you can't get around dying. I don't care how much Tylenol you take. Amen. Amen. I don't care how much exercise. I don't care what kind of diet you get. You can't stop it. The Bible says it's appointed we all die. You can't get around it. You can't even prolong your life one day. Did you know that really? We think we do, but God already knew in advance what we were going to do and not do, and he appointed the day we'd die. Death is a result of sin. That's why we die. Now, we don't like that word sin, do we? I don't like that word. Do you like to be called a sinner? No, but that's what we all are. God says we're all sinners. That's why you're going to die. That's why everybody's died up to this generation. They're all a sinner. Now think about what a truth that is. Nobody has broke that bond yet in 6,000 years except that one man we'll talk about directly. You can't stop it. It could get you right now sitting in this church. Some of us remember we had a preacher up here preaching one day, one evening. And he was just going away, and he looked up into the ceiling and he said, Lord, I wish you'd come take me right now. And he did, because he lied his head in my lap right there, went out into glory. In church, that he's not the first one that done that in church. Death is a result of sin. It's a proof that man is a sinner. The reason we die, because we're sinners. You can be a forgiven sinner, or you can be a lost sinner. We'll talk about that as we progress today. Death proves the Bible is true. People say, well, that's an old book there. And yeah, but I don't believe that old book. Listen. The Bible says that sinners die. And the Bible proves itself is true. Because everybody dies. At some point, their time comes. I saw yesterday some people were living to be 100 years of age. But there were just one or two. But down further, there's a lot of people a lot younger dying. You don't make him pass 100 too many times. Romans 6:23, the Word of God says, wherefore is by one man did this to the human family. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. By one man. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12 states. And in Romans 6:23, Paul said, the wages of sin is death. If you have a job and you work this week and you got paid, that was your wages for the week. As a sinner, we'll get paid wages, and it's death. You know what? You're sitting here in church today. You know what you're really doing? You're just sitting here waiting to die. You're just sitting here waiting to die. It might be 50 more years. It might be 50 more minutes. But we're all just waiting because that time's appointed. I want you to think about this, church. You're just sitting here. Well, you think, well, I'm going home and I'm going to get me a steak. I'm going to the steakhouse, or I'm going to go do this and I'm going to enjoy it. Hey, actually, honestly, you're waiting to die. Let's not forget when someone's life ends on earth, when they suddenly do die, they immediately take conscious residence in heaven or torment. Right then. There's no waiting around. It happens immediately. Once the spirit dismisses from your body, if you are saved, if you are saved, you'll go to heaven. If you're not saved, no matter how religious you might be, you'll go to torment. You got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, because you've said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me, and I'm turning my life over to Jesus Christ. And if you don't do that, it will be torment for you and hell for eternity. I'm just telling you the truth. No one has altered that. That's God's word. God's word. We see this with Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says that Lazarus died and the angels came and took him to heaven. That's better than riding around in a Cadillac, isn't it? He's going with the angels. He's going to come to, came and took Lazarus. And I suspect that's what happens with all Christians. The holy angels come, gets our soul, our spirit, escorts us first class into heaven. Amen? Amen? But the rich man, oh, the man that lived it up in this life, oh, he was important. He was somebody. He was respected. The Bible says he died and in torment. Torment. And that meant that he was wanting one drop of water. Now, that's pretty thirsty. He didn't even ask for more than one drop, Brother Chavis. He was so thirsty. One drop would have meant so much. He had a life here. We don't know how long. But he had a life here. Let's say a normal age, lifespan. And he died. Now, with forever, he's been in torment for the last 2,000 years. And it's going to get worse. Because he's going to be thrown into hell, the lake of fire. And that won't ever change. You see the finality of dying without Jesus Christ, church? And look at the people today. I came to church this morning and a man didn't have a thing to do but take his bush axe and was cutting down some bushes on the ditch bank. He's given no thought about his soul and where he's going to live at forever. I don't worry anyone out here is saved or not. You say you are. But if you're not, you better be getting saved, or you're going to have an awful eternity that can't be changed, won't be changed. I'm just telling you the truth. I want to talk about the promise of God. The promise of God is in Isaiah 25. You might want to mark this in your old Bible, because even back in the Old Testament, God gave us a promise about death. He said, he will swallow up death in victory. That's what Isaiah prophesied about the Lord. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Talking about believers now. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. Isaiah 25:18. In Hosea 13:14, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. You may die, lay in a grave. Your body may just disintegrate. Go back to the 18 minerals it was made from. But God says, I'm going to bring it back up. And he's going to bring you up. If your bodies go down to the 18 chemicals you're made up of, he's going to make you a body again, whether you're saved or unsaved, and you're coming up out of that ground. Because God has spoken it. Jesus demonstrates his power over death. In Mark 5:41, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumani, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Boy, Jesus said, boy, and he had authority. I say. I might say to somebody, shut up. They might not listen, amen? Amen? But Jesus said, I say, arise. Boy, I love that, Brother Chambers. I love that. He's got all authority. He's got all power. I love that. And straightway the damsel arose. Boy, when he told her to get up, she got up. And she was dead. And walked. She got up and walked. For she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. In Luke 11:7, Jesus raised the widow's son. Remember that? Oh, how heartbroken she was. They were on the way to bury, entomb him. And Jesus come along and stopped the funeral procession and raised up, give him his life back to look after his mama. More than that precious, son. More than that precious of the Lord. Demonstrating he's got all authority. He has all power. Folks, I believe this book I'm preaching today. Amen. Amen. I believe this stuff. In John 11:1, and Jesus even waited away from out of town till his good friend died. Someone would have thought, well, he weren't much of a friend to stay away till he died. But Jesus is going to prove a point. Amen? That's what he did. And he came back, and Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. His body was in the decaying process. Jesus just spoke. And he come out of that tomb still wrapped up with grave clothes. Why? Because Jesus said, come out. That's why. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Jesus himself conquered death. Now, boy, now this is the clincher. This is reason we got a hope today. This is the only reason you got a hope today of living forever. In Revelation 1:18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Jesus said, I died. In actuality, he dismissed his own spirit from his body on the cross. That's what happened. And he said, behold, I'm alive forevermore. I died one day. He died one day. Why? To pay for my sin that I couldn't pay for. He said, I'm alive forevermore, and then I have the keys of hell and of death. I determine who goes where. I know who trusts me, and I know who don't trust me. And there's nobody going to be snuck in to heaven, folks, just because they are religious or they are good or they're an important person. You got to be, there's one standard for heaven. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to repent of your sin. You got to know you're a sinner, you're lost, and you need to be forgiven. And only Jesus and his blood can cleanse you from your sin. This is so important, folks. It's lacking in too many places in pulpits right now. People's not being told the truth. Romans 6:9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Jesus Christ will never die again. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all look up here at me. When Jesus comes at his second coming, did you know what all the armies of the world are planning on doing? Killing him. They gather together and they're going to fight him. All he says is, drop dead. Amen. That'll be the end of them. That'll be the end of them. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Death will never affect Jesus Christ again. He's paid for man's sin. It's forever settled. If you believe in Jesus, your death sentence has been paid for. And you, when you die in this life, you don't really die. You just slip out of that body and go into the presence of God to spend eternity in glory. And it gets better as the ages goes on. Amen? Amen. Job said in Job 19:26-7, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew that even though he died and returned to the dust, one day in his own body, he would see God. I tell you, folks, that's something to make you shout. Amen? Do Baptists ever shout? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, you might want to look that up in your Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. We got enemies today, the demons. We may have personal enemies in the world, etc. But the last enemy to be destroyed is death, is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen? Think about that. Now, Jesus became human to break Satan's power. Satan is the author of death. Y'all know that, don't you? Isn't Satan your friend? No, he's not your friend. He's the author of death. He's the reason we die. He deceived Eve, and then she caused her husband to eat forbidden fruit. And since he was the one given charge over the earth, God held him responsible for eating forbidden fruit. Hebrews 2:14, listen to this scripture. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, we all have flesh and blood. Listen to this. He also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, Jesus Christ is God, who took on a human body and a human nature. He was one of us. He became one of us, yet he was God. And even Bible scholars cannot fully understand and comprehend the two natures of Jesus Christ. He's fully man and he's fully God. As a fully man, he was going to pay for our sin. The Bible says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, that through his dying, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus came that through death, that his own dying himself, he could break Satan's power. And that's the reason we have a hope today. Because Satan's power is broken. Satan's been defeated. Now, it's true, Satan's going about. He's got his imps in here today observing this service. That's all right. They're all defeated. But God's allowed them to go about for a time. But eventually, God will be through with them imps and they'll be all cast into the lake of fire. In 2 Timothy 1:10, Paul wrote, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death." He's broke Satan's power, death's power, "and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." 2 Timothy 1:10. Listen to me very, very carefully. That's the why you can't get saved without hearing the gospel. The gospel is the only message that'll save a sinner. No other message. What is that message? It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, the Bible says, unto them that believe. You got to believe it. Got to receive it. Say, it's for me. I'm that guilty one. I want to be forgiven. In 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 56, "So when this corruptible," and we all live in a corruptible body, "shall have put on incorruption, given a new glorified body, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where's your sting? O grave, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin." 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 56. For us believers, we won't have the sting of death, because that sting has been taken care of because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and resurrection morning. Revelation 20:14-15, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. A believer dies one time physically. An unbeliever dies two times. He dies physically, and he's already dead spiritually and will be eternally separated from God, which is his second death. In Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." What about the Lord personally wiping your tears away? That's going to be a personal moment. You had any tears lately? Had any heartaches lately? Had any grief lately? Because you're in a world of death, sin. It's coming a time we're going to live in a world where there's not going to be any of that. It's going to be a different world. It's going to be a new world, a new earth. Just for those that's repented, trusted Jesus, and are living for him. Nobody else. And each one makes their own decision. God don't make that decision. You make your decision. The Bible says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death." Won't that be something, living in a place there'll never be any more death? Every one of us probably live in anticipating every day hearing so-and-so died. Right? "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Oh, the pain my wife is in. She's got something, must be some kind of bursitis or something. Pain pills don't hardly help her. Oh, she's murdering. There's going to be a place where there's more pain for God's people. "For the former things are passed away," church. It's going to be a different world where we go in. It's going to be a different world. Death is going to be banished. There won't be any sin there. Death there. Demons there. It's going to be glorious. And it's going to be forever. It's never going to end, Brother Johnny. It's not going to ever end. Some of you like to go on vacation. I got a vacation next week. You know what? All throughout the whole week, you're thinking every day, well, it ain't long. I got to go back to work. Right, Brother Johnny? That's right. That's the way it is. I took a vacation one time. Me and Mom and Daddy went to the mountains in 1971 or two. That's the last one I ever took. And got up there in the mountains, and Tammy got lost. She was about that high. Got wandered off. I'd like to have a bitty. Amen. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, and now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Because Christ conquered death, we're going to be also living forever. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of death. Adam caused death to come to the human family when he disobeyed God. But another man who obeyed God has given us the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the reason you got to be born again. You got to be made in Christ to be saved. We're all in Adam till you get saved. Hope you understand that, church. We all come into this world in Adam. We're already condemned when we come into this world. We're already under the judgment of God when we come into this world. The judgment of God is hanging over every unsaved person right now, just waiting to execute them and drop them into hell. Right now. The Bible talks about when the dead hear and live again. Every person who ever lived will one day hear the voice of Jesus and be raised from the dead. Now, go back 6,000 years, and every person that's ever lived will hear Jesus' voice one day. Think about all those bodies that's gone, yet they're going to all hear Jesus' voice. Those that are lost will come forward to condemnation. Those that where believers in God through Christ will come to live forever with glorified bodies. Isn't that awesome? I'm talking about something I believe. I'm not just standing up here killing time today. I believe this stuff, folks. I believe this stuff. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus said, I like the way he says that, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. John 5:25-28. One day there was not going to be the more hearses taking loved ones to a cemetery. One day there's not going to be any more tears from hearts that are saddened by death. One day there will not be any more wreaths on the front door to speak of death here. One day death will be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. But won't that be an awesome day? Boy, now you talk about a victorious day. When death is cast into the lake of fire for eternity. By the way, the lake of fire and sulfur, it says in places. That word sulfur, you know what that means? Hell, the lake of fire, will not only be a place of fire and torment, it's going to be a stinking, rotten place. Have y'all ever smelled a rotten egg before? That's an awful sin, isn't it? God. Oh, what? Yeah. But I'm just giving you just a rotten egg, how awful that is. But sulfur, that's what the lake of fire is going to be, a rotten place, stinking place. And you'll be in there with the demons and the devil and all the wicked people. Forever, folks. And people living so casual today, Everything's nice. Everything's fine. Well, you know, I don't really need the Lord. I'm doing as good as them people down at the church. Yeah. Oh, in fact, I seen Brother So-and-so down at the liquor store. Yeah. That's the way people reason. This is a promise of God who will make it happen at the appointed time. Until death, until then, death is going to reign over all people. Every day you're going to hear so-and-so died, so-and-so died, so-and-so died. The grim reaper will visit every home bringing sadness and death. The old grim reaper. You can't stop him. Your medicine won't stop him. The doctor won't stop him. You might think you've took 3S tonic and it stopped him. It didn't. Well, on the day it's appointed for him to get you, he's coming. He's coming. There are those who are wise will realize their only hope is Jesus for their soul's salvation. Jesus is your only hope. There's no alternative. The unwise and the foolish will ignore the warnings from the Word of God. And there are about the tens of thousands all around us, even in this county today. I have more important things than being in church. Well, we'll see in eternity what was important, won't we? We'll see in eternity what's important. People by the billions will fall into a Christless hell, failing to heed the warnings that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. People all over the world, oh, how they beg for this old book here. Oh, there was a time when there was very few of these books. Now, I don't know how many copies of the Bible I've got for myself, different versions. I bet you got several different versions in your own home. It's the most important book that's ever been written. It is the Word of God. It is true. It's the only true book, cover to cover. My understanding is that, listen to this. My understanding is that after the great white throne judgment, all the unsaved of all ages have been judged and thrown into the lake of fire. We, the saved, will not remember any of them again. We will not have any fond memories of any of them. Why would you say that, preacher, when I love so and so? Because I read the Word of God. That's why I said that. In Revelation 21, 3 through 5, you might want to mark it. Go back and read it. I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now listen to this. This is all for God's people now. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You're not going to be crying over lost loved ones in heaven. Somehow our minds is going to be blank from that. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So in heaven, we're not going to be worried, troubled about lost loved ones. Because God's not going to let anything in heaven take away our pleasure, our joy for eternity. Each person has made their own decision, their own choice. And let me say again, God doesn't decide if you go to heaven or not. You decide. What God did, he sent his son to pay your debt. And if you don't want his son to pay your debt, you got to pay it. I'm just being frank. I'm being true. As we live today, we're watching people making unwise decisions. Many think they'll live a long life, but many die young. All you got to do is visit a cemetery. Many think there's no God to answer to one day. A lot of people, that's because of our present educational system we got today. When they voted God's word out and the prayer out and they brought in this, we evolved out of a mud hole belief system. Many think God loves them and will not allow them to go to hell. God wouldn't send nobody to hell. He don't. I'm trying to tell you, God don't send people to hell. People choose to go to hell because they won't accept the Savior to pay for their sin. Well, some people will say, well, I'm going to just take a chance. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. How much of a chance do you think a snowball has in hell? You ain't got no chance. Dying without Christ. Many just want to get all they can out of this life. Well, I'm just going to be here for a time. I'm going to enjoy all I can. Well, you can. God allow that. Sometimes God lays you flat on your back and you don't get to enjoy too much of it. He can do that too. Well, I'm almost half done. How Satan is deceiving people from every angle to damn their soul for eternity, and people don't know the devil's got them and gone. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, but if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lost people don't realize they're lost. Why? Satan's blinded them. Their spiritual eyes are blind. In whom the God, Satan of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. If you're an unbeliever, it's because Satan's deceived you. He's deceiving you. You may not believe that, but he has. He has. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan don't want nobody to get saved. He wants them in hell with him. He don't want God to get glory out of their lives. He's trying to keep as many people in his clutches as he can. What's so alarming is that millions of people who have perfect eyesight do not realize that spiritually they are totally blind by Satan's power. You can have 20/20 eyesight and be as blind as a bat spiritually. The Apostle Paul wrote, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and to the Greek. The Apostle Peter warned, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. The devil's going about right now. He might not be here himself, but I'll guarantee you he's got some demons here or imps reporting on what's going on. Hey, God's got his angels here too. In fact, Jesus said he'd be here. Amen. Amen. Satan is getting all those who refuse or fail to believe in Jesus as their Savior. Satan's getting them to take down to hell with him. But the good news is that for all believers in Jesus' death by resurrection, death spiritual or physical will never stain God's new heaven and his new earth again. There will never be any more sin in the new heaven and in the new earth. Never anything to bring about death. As the redeemed of the Lord, we'll live eternally with our great God and Savior. Why would anyone be so unwise as to fail to check out their need for salvation? Used to, and I've said this often, when I was growing up in a little old country church across the branch over y'all, you'd hear people come in for the revival. I need to get saved. I need to get saved. People don't say that no more. People don't see their need anymore. Everybody's got a paycheck now. If you ain't got one, oh, Biden will send you one. Yeah. Yeah. You know what's behind that? The devil deceiving people. The devil deceiving people. Church, death has been vanquished. It's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And all those that believed in Jesus Christ who vanquished death, they're going to live forever in a paradise that the human language cannot explain. It's going to be so wonderful. We'll be there for eternity trying to discover how great it really is, folks. Don't miss out. That's why as a church, we got our mission programs, supporting missionaries. That's why we got to work together. We got to be evangelistically minded. We got to keep doing the work of the Lord, church. That's why we're here. The Lord leaves us here to promote His gospel that the blind can be saved. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for vanquishing death, that one day death will be no more. Praise God for the grace of God that would provide such a plan of salvation for a race of sinners. And we praise you, love you, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you're not saved, today's the day of salvation, church. Today's the day of salvation. You know, as a Christian, we need to be praying for people that's not saved. We got our salvation box here, folks.